this morning when I came in. Obviously, it is kind of graduation season. For some, those faces were relief. For others, it was like, I can't believe that my child has gotten to this point and they're graduating. It's an exciting and fun and kind of crazy season, whether you're graduating from high school or college or from elementary to middle school or graduate school or whatever it may be. It's an exciting and fun and kind of scary time. And it kind of takes me back to when I was in college, and I loved my college experience in Philadelphia, greatest city in the world. It was an amazing experience, and I loved the atmosphere because my school was in downtown Philadelphia. And it was great because they had street vendors on every corner. So every day I could go up and get a pretzel, a meatball sub, a slice of pizza, and a grape soda, all for under $5, right? And in college, $5 is a lot. And I would love that. I would always go every day and get all of that food. And the other part that was neat about Philadelphia is there were always street vendors. So there are people selling things on the corner, from watches to ties to sunglasses to whatever you wanted. They were always selling it on the street corner. Now, you had to be careful because that material was either stolen or it was a knockoff, right? Those were your two options. It was definitely not a legit business that was going on. And no matter how street smart you thought you were probably going to get duped at some point, because they do not sell Gucci handbags for $10. It just isn't going to happen. You're not going to get a great watch for $5. That's not going to happen. And as much as we all like to think that we could never be duped and accepting a knockoff of something, I've got a few knockoffs up here that I wanted to kind of show you that people are trying to perpetrate on. That's Larry Potter. I mean, I loved all the Larry Potter books, and those movies were great, except it's Harry Potter. We'll go to the next one. Mr. Potato Crisps is not Pringles. If you have ever had Pringles and you know the sweet joy that comes out of that little can, and it is not Mr. Potato Crisps. Let's go to the next one. Crust. Would you ever brush your teeth with something called crust? They're trying to pass that off. Looks just like Crest, okay? I love this one. Microsoft Bimbos. Like, is anybody going, you know what, I got to download some Microsoft Bimbos on my computer. Do not do that. That's not going to end well. Let's go to our next one. That is an angry Mickey Mouse. Don't get this for your kids. Don't do it. That's an angry Mickey Mouse. That's not the real Mickey Mouse. And then this is supposed to be Dove, but it's D-V-O-E and not D-O-V-E. So again, they're trying to perpetrate. And let's go to our last one. Form 4 is not Connect 4. I love Connect 4, and that is not it. But isn't it amazing how often people are trying to sell us a knockoff version of something? Like, if anybody gave you any of these products, you would not accept them because you'd say, I want the real thing. I don't want Crust. I want Crest. I want Connect 4. I want Microsoft Windows. None of us would ever accept a knockoff version because we want the real thing. But here's the question. Why do we accept a knockoff version of hope? We have been sold a bill of goods on where we can find hope in our world and in our life, and we have accepted those knockoff versions instead of the real thing. And so what we're going to look at today are some of those knockoff versions that the world has tried to convince us this is where you find hope. And then we're going to take a look at the real thing of hope. You know, these things are obvious. You could all look and we can laugh and we can say, well, of course, those aren't the real thing. Those are knockoff versions of things. But sometimes the knockoff version of hope that we accept, it's not as obvious. It's subtle, and we don't even realize that we have accepted this as our version of hope. And the first thing is riches, is wealth, is monetary means. Because we all have heard, and probably all of us have said, if I could just have more money, that would solve all my problems. If we made more money, that would solve all of our problems. And the world tells us, you've got to get more money. So you've got to work longer, and you've got to work harder. And the world has tried to convince us that if you have money, that equals all the hope that you will need. Listen to what the Bible says about that. We look at 1 Timothy. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Look, all of us have experienced how fragile money can be. The markets can go up and down. Jobs can transition you in and out of a job. Circumstances in life can change. And so we see how hope and money are not the same thing. And let me be clear, there's nothing wrong with having money. God has blessed so many people in Scripture with money and blesses people today with money. Money is not bad unless money has us, unless we have equated money and hope as the same thing. And so many of us are groomed, are taught, are bred to believe the only way to have hope is if you have money. And the Bible says that is not the case. Look, I can tell you, I had the privilege of for over 20 years being involved in sports ministry, dealing with athletes who had millions and millions of dollars. They had fame, they had fortune, they had power, they had all the money you could ever imagine. But you know what they always didn't have? Hope. Because their family members got ill just like our family members did. They had crisis in their life just like we have crisis in our life. They had doubts just like we have doubts. And all the money that they had could not solve their problems. They didn't have hope. And so often in life, we think that if we just get more money, that will get us more hope. And conversely, I've had the privilege to sit with billionaires, billionaires, who didn't put any of the hope in their money, but put their hope in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Money and hope shouldn't be the same thing. Money shouldn't be our hope. Money should be our help to bring God glory in what we do. And this problem isn't just our culture. We go all the way back to the Old Testament. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy. God says, otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses, settle down, and when your herds of flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You know, we have so many of our students that are getting ready to go to college, and sometimes the colleges will say, well, you've got to get the job that can make you the most money because that's the only way you'll be happy and that's the only way you'll find hope. Sometimes what happens is when we do that, we forget that it's God who's given us the gifts and the abilities that we have in life. So the first knockoff version that sometimes we fall into when we look for hope, and everybody looks for hope, is money. That's not the real thing. The second thing that we sometimes accept as a knockoff version of hope is other people. We put all of our hope in another person. We put it in our spouse. We put it in our kids. We put it in our employer. We put it into the leader of our company or our government or our country or whatever it may be, because we think it's somebody else's job to give us hope. And everybody will let us down. Everybody has been let down by other people, and we have all let other people down. So often we think that our hope has to be in somebody else. And if our spouse and our kids aren't perfect and they don't respond and give us what we want, when we want, and how we want, well, then we feel hopeless in life. It's a lot of pressure to put on somebody to say, you are responsible to give me hope in my life. You have to be the perfect spouse, the perfect child, the perfect employer, whatever it may be. We and other people are not built to give us hope. There's only one source of hope, and that is the Lord. Listen to what it says in the book of Jeremiah. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. What Jeremiah was saying is our hope doesn't come in other people because other people like us are not perfect. We're flawed, every one of us, but we unconsciously accept this knockoff version that if my spouse is perfect, if my kids are perfect, if my boss is perfect, if my company's perfect, if my little league team is perfect, then I'm going to have hope because those other people did exactly what I wanted. But that's not what they were built for, And that's not what we're built for. There is only one true source of hope, the real thing. Jeremiah goes on to say this. He said, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." See, when we put our hope in other people, we're like a bush in the desert, which the analogy does not work with all the rain that we've had over the last 3 days, right? But imagine if it didn't rain and how a plant would just dry up. It wouldn't be nourished. It wouldn't flourish. It wouldn't produce fruit. But when a tree is planted and it gets the nourishment, man, it becomes strong and it blossoms. And probably with the storm that we had this past week, you saw the trees that had really good roots because they didn't move. But when we drove through our neighborhood, we saw a few trees that were uprooted and they were broken because they didn't have the right roots. They were rotted on the inside. It didn't look like they were rotted on the outside, but on the inside they were. See, that's like us. If we put our hope in other people, then we're going to be disappointed. Our hope, the real thing, comes from God. Now, another area, and probably I know I have fallen into this area, particularly when I was younger, was I put hope in stuff. If I could just have this kind of car, man, then I could definitely get a girl to go out with me, right? You know, this car, if I live in this neighborhood, well, then people will be really impressed with me. Or if I could afford that suit, woo, I know the girls will want to line up and go out with me then. We put our hope in stuff. And if you don't think that we put our hope in stuff, watch the next time Apple launches a product and watch the line that's out the door. It's amazing. People put their hope, they got to have this one thing, that if they have this new iPhone or this new piece of technology or this new car or this new thing, everybody puts their hope in that. But what does the Bible say about putting our hope in stuff? It says this: "Of what value is an idol carved by a craftsman, or an image that teaches lies? For the one who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, 'Come to life,' or to a lifeless stone, 'Wake up.' Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There is no breath in it." If you took a survey of how many people have phones versus the basic necessities of life, phones would win. People have phones in countries that don't have the basic necessities of life. People put their hope, if I have a phone, I have value. Especially young people. You know, they have to have the latest phone at 10 and 11 years of age sometimes because that's their hope. That's a status symbol. We drive cars of a certain thing because it's a status symbol. It gives us hope that people will like us. We want to live in a home in a certain neighborhood because it gives us status. That's not hope. But yet we accept those knockoff versions of hope, that it's having money, it's other people giving us what we want, it's having stuff, and that's not the real thing. It may be what people think of as the American dream, but the American dream and the gospel are not the same thing. They are not the same thing. Our hope is not in anything of this world. Our hope is in Jesus Christ alone. I think the last place and the most divisive place that we all try to place our hope is in government. Boy, nothing will divide a room than starting to talk politics, right? Well, I know that if my party's in power, then this country will have hope. And if your party's in power, well, then there's no hope. And if my candidate is elected, then I know we have hope. And if your candidate's elected, I know it's a hopeless world we live in. It's not true. We're placing our hope in government. That's not what God says. Listen to what Scripture teaches us. Isaiah says this: "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord." The people of God were in a tough spot. The Babylonians, the Assyrians, they were in trouble. So they said, "We have to turn to Egypt because, man, they are a political and military power. Let's put our hope in government." Because government always gets it right, huh? But yet we sometimes think our only hope for our country, for our world, for our communities, for our lives is somehow in government. The people of God did that and it didn't work out well. Because it's like we don't think that God can overcome. See, God's mercy is bigger than our mess. Let me say that again. God's mercy is bigger than our mess, individually, corporately, and as a nation. And if we keep thinking that we're going to find the hope that we need in the government, then we've accepted a knockoff version of hope. God can use the government to bring hope, but the government itself is not and should not be our source of hope. Our source of hope is not in a political party. Our source of hope is in a person of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Isaiah says in verse 3. But the Egyptians are mere mortals and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, those who help will stumble. Those who are helped will fall. All will perish together. What Isaiah is saying is the only source of help is God. We have to say, do we trust in chariots or the hand of God? See, these are some knockoff versions of hope that our culture has said, this is your only way to have hope. You better have money. People better all agree with you and do what you want. Better have the coolest stuff. And you got to have the government provide for you. That if we don't have those four things, then apparently we can't have hope. That's a knockoff version of hope. See, let's look at what the real thing looks like. We find that in 1 Peter 1. Peter says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. You know, Peter begins by just praising God that we have salvation, that we have hope, that we have a new birth, we have a new beginning. See, the hope is that when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That our story is going to have a different ending. Sometimes in life, we think we know how our story is going to end. Because we look at what's going on around us and say, my story may not have a happy ending. I have no hope in my life. I have no hope in my world. There is always hope with Christ. He can change our story. And what Peter is saying here is that we have hope because we have a new birth. We are born again. The slate is wiped clean. That we have hope because we gain entrance. We gain access to a living hope, which is Jesus Christ. Think about that. We have hope in the real thing, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Peter says this. He says, in his great mercy, he's given us new birth. God's mercy is bigger than our mess. Whatever your mess is in life, God's mercy is bigger. And we have hope because we don't have to figure out our own mess. God did that on the cross. And we have access into this living hope. Do you know why our hope is living? Because Christ is living. We can have hope because Jesus is alive. We don't have hope that is eternal in riches, in other people, in stuff, in government. We only have hope in Christ. And we have an inheritance. It's an amazing thing when you think of inheritance. I recently was reading that Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, has now climbed his way back up to the richest man in the world. I think he's at like $85 billion is his net worth. I've sent him a letter asking him to help us out. I have not yet heard back. But we'll keep sending that letter. Can you imagine the inheritance that may come from his kids? But think about it. The inheritance that we have is greater than that. Listen, there are three ways in which our inheritance is described. Impenetrable, undefiled, and unfading. Can you say that about money, about people, about stuff, about government? Can you apply any of those traits to those knockoff versions of hope that you could say money and stuff and people and government is impenetrable, undefiled, and unfading? You can't say that. You can't say it. But yet we accept those things as a knockoff version of hope. Well, that'll give me hope instead of the real thing, which is in Jesus Christ. That is the only version of hope. And you know how the inheritance is described? I want to read to you how the inheritance is described in Scripture. The promised land in Numbers, God himself in Psalms, eternal life in Daniel, the earth in Matthew, the kingdom of God in Matthew, glory with Christ in Romans, secured by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians, a reward from Colossians is eternal from Hebrews, a blessing from 1 Peter, and a holy city from the book of Revelation. Look at all of those ways. That is our inheritance. That is our hope in life. There is no way that any of those knockoff versions can give us that hope. We will not find this type of hope in money and other people and stuff in government. This only comes from the real thing. None of us are going to go home and brush our teeth with crust tonight. We won't do it. You would say, I'm not going to want that. I want the real thing. I want Crest. So why should we accept a knockoff version of hope? It will only disappoint us. There is one source of hope. There is one real thing, and that is in God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I have three things I want us to really think about this week. Three questions. Do you know the difference between a knockoff and the real thing when it comes to hope? Number two, have you put your hope in a knockoff, money, people, stuff, government, something else? And number three, do you have hope in the real thing, Jesus Christ? I'm going to ask our music ministry to come back up. Everybody needs hope. Everybody wants hope. What hope do you need in your life? Maybe it's for a relationship that is strained. Maybe it's for future work. Maybe it's because your kids are getting ready to go off to school. Maybe you're looking for hope to overcome something that you're battling with, frustration, anger, addiction. Where are you looking? Are you putting your hope that if you just get more money, that will solve your problems? Are you putting your hope that if other people just act the way you want them to act, that's going to give you hope? Is your hope in stuff? That if you could just get more stuff, a nicer car, a bigger house? Or is your hope that, man, the government, they'll just have to make my life right? Don't accept those knockoff versions of hope. Accept the real thing. Put your hope in Christ. I'd like you just to reflect on those things as we sing this song.